Let me extend a very warm welcome to all of you. Hare Krishna. It's very kind of you that you have come even walking through the snow. I heard yesterday devotees arrived and there was a snowstorm and their car broke down. And they had to walk for 1 hour through the snow. Was it? You had to walk? Really? Walk? Physically walk? Wow, this shows a lot of determination. I know that some devotees came with airplanes and came from Switzerland and Germany and from cold Sweden. And I guess we will see devotees. Yeah, devotees from Belgrade came. I see one devotee who said, I absolutely cannot come. I'm very sorry. It's not possible for me. And she's here. So it's very, very nice that you have all made the effort to come. I personally feel that coming to such a festival and making the effort to come is very important. It is very relevant because discovery in my own life is that there's so much wealth to be had in deepening relationships. And just like we want to come for Jamashtami to deepen our relationship with Krishna and Radhastami, we also want to come at a time when, which is set aside for our relationship as guru and disciple. We want to make time for that. I think more and more we will experience that we have less and less time for essential things. This is one of the developments in this age. People have to do more and more and less and less time for essential things. Yesterday one devotee said to me, oh, I have to be Monday in Belgrade. But maybe the weather comes and my plans are smashed. You know, it depends on the snow. What this devotee has to do in Belgrade can only be done when it's not so full of snow and ice. So I was thinking, this morning when I read in the Bhagavatam that sometimes Krishna's mercy manifests in that our plans are smashed. It's a manifestation of his mercy because not all the time our plans are really for our benefit, for our own benefit. Sometimes our own plans are not in our interest, but they work against our interest. So Krishna's special mercy is sometimes felt when our plans are smashed. For instance, when we become ill and we cannot do what we wanted to do, we have to sit down and all of a sudden find ourselves with all the time which we didn't have before. All the time to think about our relationship with Krishna. So these days which we can now celebrate, it is good that we have taken the time without having to wait that our plans are smashed. It is good that we voluntarily have come to invest in this important to relationship and to celebrate. Now, while I'm saying this, I do know that there are many, many devotees who really couldn't come, who have other things, pressing obligations, and I don't want to say that they made the wrong decision to stay home. No, but I want to honor those of you who have thought it was important enough to come and celebrate and think about this relationship and see if they can get some inspirations in this relationship. So I thought today I will read about a Bhagavatam text, and then I've made a few notes which I would like to share with all of you. But first of all, Dobrodošli, welcome, willkommen, benvenuti, and whatever you say to welcome. It's a very, very nice, and I'm already feeling, you know, usually I've learned to deal with shyness. Shyness which comes when you speak before many people, but when I'm, you know, speaking during a disciple meeting and talk about the relationship, guru and disciple, then I'm overwhelmed with deep emotions because I do remember my own relationship to my own spiritual master. And I'm feeling a healthy nervousness running through my veins. I guess that is so because, as I said to you, I more and more begin to understand the deep importance of relationship in one's life. As a young person, I used to run away from this because it's also sometimes not easy to open yourself for a relationship. It's not so easy because you can be hurt so easily, or you can be, someone all of a sudden sees in your heart and sees more things than you see in your own heart. So, right, so we will try to go deep into this relationship today. As I said, I will present a little thing and what I want to say about this. And then I want to open the forum for relevant question. I hope the questions are not just taken by young devotees, but by devotees who are already longer on the path and therefore know the path a little better, and that can ask those detailed things which are important for them to go on from the point they have reached. Yeah, and then I have a lot of, I will invite one person who's on the other side. I have some surprises. Padaya Krishna Pristaya Utale Dimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine. Thank you. namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Astatyarisa Tarine Namaste Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vaswati Gobhakta Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hey!
Rama Rama Hare Hare. Nitya Nanda Ram, Nitya Nanda Ram, Nitya Nanda Ram.
Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Askatyare Sadarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasane He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kansana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusuti Devi Pranamami Ribye Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Govakta Vinna Vansha Kalpataru Vaishya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare In preparing for the disciple meeting, I studied a little bit the 10th canto, chapter 87, and came upon a verse which I felt is just so wonderful and so inspiring, because it describes something about the guru-disciple relationship in a very, let me say, relevant way, so that I decided to take this verse from the 10th canto, chapter 87, text 33. Vijita Krishika Vayubir Adanta Manasturagam Vijita Krishika Vayubir Adanta Manasturagam Yaiha Yatati Yatum Atilolam Upayakidaha Vyasana Shatanvita Samavahaya Guru Sharanam Api Vaniya Ivaja Shanti Akritaka Nadara Jalado. This verse describes the solution for a dilemma, that is life which is not under one's control. It says the mind is like an impetuous, is like a naughty horse, that even persons who have regulated their senses and breath cannot control. Those in this world who try to tame the uncontrolled mind, but who abandon the feet of their spiritual master, encounter hundreds of obstacles in their cultivation of various distressful practices. O unborn Lord, these persons are like merchants on a boat in the ocean who have failed to employ a helmsman. It's a rich imagery, this verse. See, the whole point of spiritual life is to control the mind. Actually, any yoga practice which you find is successful only when it helps the practitioner to become totally absorbed in the object of his worship without any diversion to anything else. Full absorption, that is the goal of any yoga practice, including and led by the bhakti yoga practice. Jiva Goswami describes that this full absorption in Krishna consciousness is like coloring a cloth. The cloth was previously white, maybe, or orange, and now it is colored in a violet color. So previously your mind thought of Krishna, of mundane things, and now in Krishna consciousness the whole idea is to always remember Krishna, never forget him. In other words, to become fully absorbed. This is the goal, this is the point. Other yoga practices like the mystical yoga, jnana yoga, every other yoga practice really has this goal, that it takes your mind and with it your whole life and absorbs it in a new reality, the spiritual reality which we want to obtain. So it's very difficult. I think we all know this as we go through our life. So often our mind is just occupied with other things, especially worries and anxieties. This material world, this absorption in worries and anxieties and unpleasantness is a very, very much spread. Therefore, this world has been called Kuntaloka, the world of anxiety. And we want to come to Vaikuntha Loka, the world without anxiety. And this happens if our mind just becomes totally absorbed. Now, there are many processes through which you can try to absorb and center your mind. And I think those of you who have visited retreats, they always will find that we tell everyone, please, first of all, come here, center yourself. And we offer simple things like breathing deeply and so on. But it says here that there are many, how does it say? distressful practices, this is how the Bhagavatam describes it, which are full of hundreds of obstacles, as long as you have given up the feet of your spiritual master. When you have shelter under the instructions of the spiritual master, then you don't have any obstacles in your practice. But if you have given the shelter up, if you are, then you are, this is how the Bhagavatam says, you are like a merchant on a boat who have failed to employ the helmsman. Helmsman means like the captain. Imagine you are on a boat journey through the Atlantic Ocean. That's a rough ocean with high waves. And you throw the captain overboard. Oops. Have a good swim. Then you don't know how you will be able to navigate your boat through the high waves and through the difficult to negotiate passages, like Cape Horn is difficult, or when you come there between Holland and another place. I remember we were once sailing from Amsterdam up to Germany, and we came to this part of the sea where it became just so difficult. The waves were up and down, and many congregational members with whom we went, they became green in their face, and they enriched the ocean with the last meal because it was just so difficult, and no one was any longer in control of the situation. Only Ram Gopal was smiling because he has sailed many times in rough oceans. But yeah, I remember everyone was just like this. So this happens when there is no captain on your boat, when there is no expert navigator in your life who can help you to cross the difficult situations in life. There is a well-known Bhagavatam verse which you know. Nridehaṁ ādyam sulabham sudhulabham plavam sukalpam guruka nadaram mayanukulena nabasvateritam uman bhavadbhim nataret saatmaha. It says, the human body which can award all benefit in life, you get so much benefit in this human life, form of life, is automatically obtained by the laws of nature, although it is a very rare achievement. This human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat, having the spiritual master as the captain and the instructions of the personality of Godhead as favorable winds impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages, a good boat, a captain, and good wind, or the human form of life, the spiritual master, and the mercy of Krishna, considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize his human life to cross the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of his own soul. Therefore, the first business, really, when you want to take this human form of life seriously, is to take the captain, to take a spiritual master, and benefit from his instructions, so that you can easily cross the difficult ocean of material life. If you throw him overboard or abandon him, as this verse says, you are like a group of merchants, like a merchant on a boat in the ocean, who has who has no captain. The boat will go here, there, bang and slash and everywhere. And the instructions is very important. The Bhagavatam tells us a little bit more what these different practices are through which you try to improve your life. It gives examples. You know, the verse said, those in this world who try to tame the uncontrolled mind, but who abandon the feet of their spiritual master, meet hundreds of obstacles during the cultivation of various distressful practices. You can try so many things from the Vedic pantheon of teachings, but if you don't have a guide in these, that's dangerous. Here it says, in the Bhagavatam, it's from the 7th canto, 15th chapter. I will read to you text 25, but there are a few verses before, which I will also summarize. There are various practices, but Guru Seva brings all these practices to perfection. For instance, when you have lusty desires, do you sometimes have this? No one is participating in this lecture here because they are highly afraid that I will get personal. What you must do is you must make plans with determination. This is how you give up lusty desires. Like, for instance, I had a good plan yesterday after this Ljubljana thing to really eat a good meal, and then I heard the night before it's a Ekadasi. What can you eat on a Ekadasi? And I knew, I had really made a plan. I wanted to eat a cake with blueberries, and that was really lusty for this. But then I made some plans with determination. Oh, it's a Ekadasi, and you will eat only sin if you eat this. So then I could give up these types of lusty desires. When you are often angry, what you should do is you should stop being envious of others. When you are envious of others, that means you have bad feelings towards others. Then the natural result is that at one stage you will be angry. So to avoid being angry, you must give up envy. To avoid being angry, yes, I think I can say. Now, when you have pride in your heart, what to do to give up pride is you must serve devotees. Or when you have bodily and mental sufferings, you should do Hatha Yoga and Pranayama. This is what the Bhagavatam says. Oh, best of the lazy yogis. I think many of us have back pains and this and that pain. Do some yoga. That is the recommendation of the Bhagavatam. But then the Bhagavatam says, all this, that means to give up lusty desires, to conquer anger, to give up fears, to become prideless, to become healthy, all this can be automatically done if one serves the Guru with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the modes of nature and their influence. If you want to read this, it's 7th canto, 15th chapter, text 25. I have personally experienced in my own discipleship, in my not always easy discipleship, that when I could collect my mind from all the many diversions in my life, and I could just fix it, not with resistance, but with faith and devotion, on the instructions of my exalted spiritual master. Ooh. Then everything seemed to go easy, because by the blessings of a great soul, the third alternative can show up in your mind. The third alternative, I mean, usually we think yes or no, stay or go, you know, one of the two parts of the duality. But by the instructions, by connecting with the spiritual master, serving him with faith and devotion, now I have seen wonderful things happening in the life. For instance, I noticed one day that Srila Prabhupada gave me the name Sachinandan. It took me 30 years to think that maybe he had something in mind with this, because he didn't call me Tirthapada or Tarun Krishna or anything with T. My first initial was T before I came Krishna before I was initiated. So usually when you get your initiation name, it is after the initial, the first letter of your previous name. For instance, James becomes Jai Gopal. But Prabhupada broke the rule in my case and called me Sachinandan, who is the name of Mahaprabhu, who spread the chanting of the holy name. And I thought, I'm not so good in chanting. I like to read, really, but chanting, I don't like to. I said, I have to control my mind, and I'm so creative, and I always... But I took it serious, and although I'm very unqualified as far as my mind is controlled, my mind is concerned, I developed, I thought I should really make this chanting my goal. Then I became very interested in japa and gave japa retreats. Usually you give retreats about, or it's lectures about something you are not an expert in. You want to learn yourself, that's how teachers are. I gave these retreats, which were mostly addressed to myself, to become a better chanter. Then I thought, after some time, the chanting should be spread, and the way to spread the chanting in the age of Kali is through kirtan. Let me do kirtan. And again, I'm not very musical. You know, I can't play the harmonium and medanga, forget it. Kartas, so-so, but also not very impressive. But I knew Prabhupada gave me that name, and he had thought about it. He's in contact with Krishna, so maybe I should serve my spiritual master with faith and devotion by helping him spread the holy name. That was what came into my mind, and I saw in my own life, since I have just connected with my exalted spiritual master, with this faith and devotion, that's very important, not an inner resistance. You have to have some faith and some devotion. So many opportunities are opening that I just think this is magical. I'm such an ordinary person, so untalented in many ways, but from an ordinary family. I ran away from school, no brain and everything. Maybe that's a sign of good brain to run away from. But anyways, but you know, no education, nothing. And I can see how, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, such wonderful doors have opened. I have personally seen this. And therefore, today I want to speak about this. The Bhagavatam says, all these many achievements, to conquer anger, to give up fear, to become prideless, all this can be automatically done if one serves the Guru with faith and devotion. Because in this way, one can conquer the modes of nature and their influence. Now, often we asked ourselves as disciples, what is the point in service? How do I actually serve? What do I have to observe if I want to do a good service? Do you feel this is a good question, Isha? Yeah. Because this is a naheliegende question, wie sagt man, a question which is obvious. I think all of us have understood the value of seva. But what is good seva? What is the element which makes service a good service? And there's a very interesting instruction from the Shastras. Service means to give pleasure. Very simple. Service means to give pleasure. There's an example in the Mahaprabhu tradition, which you are well aware of, I think. It's Ishvara Puri, who served his spiritual master with Paricharya and Parisanga Seva. These are two difficult words. Paricharya means practical things, you know, like cooking and so on. And Parisanga means service where you chant for the spiritual master, where you read maybe from scriptures or tell him about Krishna. He also wants to hear about Krishna. And in this way, encourage and inspire the spiritual master through Krishna Katha. So Ishvara Puri had a spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, an exalted soul, came into his old age and became bedridden. He was a few weeks, or one week, before his departure from this world. He was needing the service of his disciple, and Ishvara Puri stepped forward and served with so much affection. He did practical service, that is, he did cleaning services, and he also talked about Krishna to his spiritual master. And therefore, Ishvara Puri became blessed by Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri said, "May you now become empowered and become an ocean of love." He gave him the blessing. And Ishvara Puri, because he just served him so well, practically and in Krishna conscious, talking about Krishna, became so much absorbed in the ocean of prema that Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the personality of Godhead, became his disciple. Did you know this? There is a verse, Puri Devas Yanta Pranaya Madhunas Nana Madhuro, that Lord Chaitanya was based by the love that exists in Sri Ishvara Puri's heart. In other words, that ocean of love was given by Madhavendra Puri to Ishvara Puri, and Ishvara Puri in turn gave that ocean of love to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, because after Gauranga Mahaprabhu's initiation by Ishvara Puri, he became so ecstatic, he wanted to run after the initiation to Vrindavan and stay in Vrindavan, the land where Krishna is to be met. The devatas diverted him and said, "You first please start your mission, your Sankirtan movement." And then Mahaprabhu came to Navadvip. The Navadvipvasis were totally astonished. Previously, he was only a scholar who would fight about intellectual subjects with anyone he met on the street. But now he was just chanting on the street and being a God-intoxicated Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu wanted to show, this is when this is what happens to someone who serves his spiritual master and gives him pleasure in the service. He gets the most precious gift, love of Godhead, and I go to such a person and become his disciple. This is what Mahaprabhu showed like this. Pleasure, give pleasure. And now I think you understand why we must serve the spiritual master with faith and devotion. If we always are afraid, and oh, my guru, he comes too close to me and he asks me to surrender and I don't like this any longer, then love cannot appear, obviously. So therefore I'm always saying to the devotees, please, please, please choose your spiritual master, not on the basis of external things. Just see, can you develop faith and devotion so that you can also become empowered by love? It's very important. The opposite is also there. That is what happens when you give displeasure to your spiritual master. The same scenario. Madhavendra Puri, he is approaching his last hours in this world. He's leaving this world behind. And there is another disciple around who is Ramachandra Puri. In great, great love and separation, Madhavendra Puri chants a verse which Radharani had chanted when Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura. Yidina dayadranata he, O Lord of my heart, I'm feeling your separation. Madhavendra Puri is chanting, I could not attain Vrindavan, I could not attain Krishna. And he is drifting in the ocean of love in a separated mood. And Ramachandra Puri, this rascal, comes to his deathbed and says, don't be so emotional, calm down. You're supposed to be a great soul. Why do you cry? You should now, in the last moments of your life, become absorbed in Brahman. Jai Gopal is thinking, impossible. Yes, this is what he said. Too much. Too much. Be equiposed. Shanti, shanti, shanti. No, be pralamba. No. Madhavendra Puri came out of this mood. He's powerful Vaishnava. He said, you rascal, leave here, leave, go, I don't want to see your face now. Ramachandra understood, it's a great soul. He switched. When such a great devotee gets heavy on you. And he ran away from the bed of the departure. He also met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like Ishvara Puri. Ishvara Puri met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu connected with him as a disciple. Ramachandra Puri also met Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But do you know what he did? He didn't bathe Gauranga Mahaprabhu with the ocean of love. He criticized him for nothing. He criticized him. He came in the room and there were some ants, some mlavs on the floor. This is typical in India, especially in Jagannath Puri. When Madhva Muni and Kishori went with us to spend Kartik and Mad and Puri, there were so many ants that Madhva Muni and Kishori had to use all their intelligence to save the food from the ants. And they, what they did is finally they put all the food in a bag and hang it from the ceiling down, because they thought the ants cannot come there. You know, they are on the floor. But they didn't know the Puri ants. They took their computers out, the Puri ants. They made their movies, their food detectors. They were well equipped with all the food detecting devices. And they went up the wall, went down the ceiling, went down the rope to the food. Ants are totally normal in India. So Ramachandra Puri saw ants, and then he said, Gauranga Mahaprabhu cannot control his tongue. Secretly, in the evening, he eats sweets. And the sugar drops on the floor, and that's why the ants are here. Oh, he said to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, I think you should eat less. You are a sannyasi, eat less. Mahaprabhu immediately cut his food intake in half. But Ramachandra Puri still criticized the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think you still eat too much. Mahaprabhu cut his food another time in half. And all the devotees also cut down their food. Now for Mahaprabhu it's no problem, but for the devotees, they became very morose. You know, they thought, how can we eat more than our Lord? Not possible. So they had to eat. When Mahaprabhu ate a quarter of the regular meals, they also ate, but they became very, very distressed. Distressed, actually, I didn't say it right. They are great devotees. They became distressed because Mahaprabhu, whom they wanted to, you know, to eat nicely, not nicely, sufficiently, you know, was cutting down because Ramachandra Puri was so offensive, and a sannyasi has to keep public image, you know, so that he can preach. This is what Ramachandra Puri did. Finally, he left Puri. I mean, he didn't leave his body, but he left, and everyone felt like, ah, dobro, good. They felt relieved. This is what comes when you displease the spiritual master. Ultimately, you will make offenses, and as a result, you will be not wanted in the association of saintly persons. You will, the saintly persons will be happy when you are somewhere else. This is the example of seva, which is not pleasing. Ramachandra Puri thought he would give his spiritual master seva by telling him, be shanti, shanti, shanti at the moment of your death. But it was displeasing seva, and therefore the blessings were not given. Now, let me ask you another question. The question is, what will satisfy the spiritual master? What will please him? And here comes the answer. I'm so happy to give you this answer today, because I have thought about this for 40 years, and I have come to conclusions what this answer could be. And from my own understanding of Prabhupada's teaching to me, I have come to two answers. What will please the spiritual master? And here I would like to say, what will please Sri Guru Tattva, all spiritual masters? I always like to give these discussions on the guru disciple relationship in a way that everyone can take something home. Also, the disciples of Prabhupada and the disciples of other spiritual masters, because these are important principles which we need to learn. What will please the spiritual master is if you value the gift he has given you and cultivate it. I want to repeat it. What pleases the spiritual master is when you can value his gifts to you and cultivate them. What does the spiritual master give us? Well, he gives us understanding about Krishna and understanding about the spiritual practice. This is called the seed of bhakti. No? The seed of bhakti is composed of sambandha tattva, of knowledge about our relationship with Krishna, knowledge about Krishna, the soul, and then abhideya tattva, that is what we do in practice, how we cultivate Krishna consciousness. This is a seed. And the spiritual master cannot be pleased more than if you take the seed and cultivate it and get the fruit that is love of Godhead. Prabhupada was once asked, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And he said, if you develop love of Godhead, prema, that is ultimately what he wants. You know, imagine the spiritual master is like a farmer who has seeds. Seeds from his own plants, which he has grown. And these seeds, you know, when a farmer has good seeds, he will entrust someone with the seed. Please take the seed. It's the seed of an avocado tree. Or a better tree, a nice tree which grows here in Serbia. Is it called these red things which are so good? Not pomegranate. They grow at the Adria. It's in the winter. No, it has a skin. It has skin, and then you eat and the juice comes all over. Khaki. They are red and orange. Yeah, they call it, here in Croatia, they call it Japanese apple. How do we say it in the language here? Khaki. Yes, khaki. That's the best fruit. If you can get, if there is a khaki around, you know, you should steal it or, you know, eat it. It's very good. Khaki is the best. So imagine a farmer who says, I have this seed of a first class khaki tree. Khaki. Then if you take that plant, thank you, I can value this. It's the Japanese apple. It is better than a mango even. It's a European mango. You know, and you take it home, you plant it into a good earth, you water it, and the tree comes out, and there are nice fruits. The farmer will say, thank you. Thank you. He will be very pleased. I remember my grandfather, who is already dead, he was such a man, he liked apple trees. He was an expert in apple trees. And he gave me when I was young, I remember that, this is such a nice grandfather I had. He gave me a seed of an apple tree one birthday. He said, take care of this well. And told you the story many times. I planted it when I was young and it grew nicely. It had good apples quite soon. And when my grandfather was very pleased with me because I had used his gift. He liked apple trees for some reason. I had valued this rare gift, which meant more for him than a golden apple or something. It meant more. So in the same way, the spiritual master comes to us and he very shyly says, I have this, there's this secret of Krishna consciousness. You know, chant the holy name, read the Bhagavata, so good. Oh, so good. You know, I do it myself, you know. Here is the seed of bhakti for you. Then if you value the gift and cultivate it, that is how you please him. If you don't cultivate it, you destroy maybe the seed or the tree, you trample it. I mean, let's not get so dramatic, and so on. He will not be so satisfied. For him, it's something like if a mother gives her little child to someone else, you know. See, because the seed is not an impersonal seed in Krishna consciousness. It's Krishna. Krishna in form of the holy name. Krishna in form of the Bhagavatam. And when he gives that to someone else, he gives a person to someone else. And he wants that this is cultivated. Then you please him. It's like when the mother gives a little child, oh, today I need my peace. I give my little child to someone. And if that person takes nice care of the child, oh, the mother is so pleased with that person. It's really not just a seed, which is an impersonal botanic thing. It's Krishna, which we are getting through the powerful processes which are revealed by our spiritual master. If we can cultivate that, we satisfy him, we please him. And then when we please him, we get this rare mystical treasure, that ecstatic love for Krishna in our heart. Yes. How do you like this answer? Does this make sense to you? Yes. Imagine you have something you value very much and then you give it to someone and that person values it also and cultivates it further. You feel, ooh, this person, yes, we are friends, we have something in common. There is a common basis, a common platform for us. There are a few other things which will please the spiritual master. I will mention them here. One is, you know, the growth of your bhakti is seriously impeded when you commit Vaishnava aparad. This Vaishnava aparad, or it's called sometimes Ninda, offense, is what you have to be careful if you want to please the spiritual master. You must avoid this. This is, see, all the other many mistakes which we do, no problem. I mean, yes, some are problems, but not a big problem. But you know, this Vaishnav Ninda, it uproots the plant of bhakti in the heart. It just takes it out. Whoosh! And it throws it somewhere. Vaishnav Ninda is such a bad thing. It's so dangerous. Other mistakes may cut a leaf on the plant and maybe break some part of a little branch. It will grow again. But when you do a Vaishnav aparad, it uproots the plant and just throws the plant of bhakti away. Offenses against Vaishnava. Aparad means, according to Sridhar Swami, the chanting of someone's fault, whether they may be true, these faults, or false. You know, when we speak about Vaishnava aparad, we want to avoid just chanting about someone's faults. We don't want this, to talk about the mistakes of devotees. When they are right mistakes, then we get a small, then we nevertheless get a small reaction for talking bad amongst devotees. Like for instance, if you say to me, you No, if I say to someone, Jai Gopal, you ate too much, Jai Gopal, then if I'm correct, I still get a reaction. If I'm not correct, I get double the reaction. Jai Gopal never eats too much. He has a lot of digestive power, and he can eat more than me. So I'm always wrong if I criticize him. This is it is said, chanting someone's fault must be avoided. I have a nice verse about this, which I somehow have collected for you in this new lecture book. Yes, from India. A fault finder, the word is Papa Gananam. It's a person who keeps a notebook where he notes all faults down, like Chitragupta, the servant of Yamaraj, who notes down the faults of the conditioned soul. So a Papa Gananam means a person with a notebook who notes all faults down. A fault finder, in other words, who counts the faults of the sinners is the lowest of men. If the faults which he sees are true, then the fault finder shares equally the amount of sin. If, however, the faults are not true, he gets double the supposed reaction that the person would have gotten. Therefore, to find faults is the fastest way to hell. Don't do dosha kirtanam, that is, kirtam of others' faults. It's not good. Do hari kirtan. We are servants of Nityananda. One name of him is Adosha Darshana. He never sees the fault of anyone. And therefore, this Vaishnav Ninda must be avoided by any means. I will stop here. Tomorrow I will ask a very, very heavy question. We have done all this, Guru Maharaj. We have tried to please Srila Prabhupada and the spiritual masters in his succession. We have tried to be good devotees. We have tried so many things, but still we don't find any taste in devotional service. And tomorrow I will, because I thought this is evening time and we cannot concentrate so long, I will not talk so much, but I want to just leave you with these thoughts. Now, I want to see if you have any questions regarding to what you have heard today. Then I will introduce to you a person on the other side. There's something very wonderful coming. Then I want to read to you a poem about Lord Nityananda, which just came to me today by Lord Krishna's mercy. Good. So let us now see if there are any questions. Jai Gopal, Chandrasekhar, Ishwarapuri, Leela Purushottam, Mandaleshwari, Kaka, come on. Krishna Ragini. Very good. So, Jai Gopal. Will we give him a microphone so that he can...
have a question concerning just the topic of Vaishnava Aparadha you just spoke about now. Let's say in a setting of husband and wife, you're very close to each other or very good friends. Not in the, you know, you just go out in devotional public and you speak about a devotee which disturbs something where it disturbs you in a very like intimate setting. Often I've experienced that amongst devotees, you use this setting also to let out some steam if you got hurt by a devotee or you are disturbed by activities of another devotee who hurt other devotees, and you just it's something which hurts you in the heart, which disturbs you, and if you just keep it in within you, it's just bubbling inside, and sometimes you need a space to let out some steam to reveal this, that this is hurting you. You can in this way work on it to get rid of this bad feeling, and in this sense you may tell your husband, your wife, your good friend what hurt you about this other person, but of course there is also involved that you tell the story what he did. Mm-hmm. Is this also Vaishnava Aparadha? And if it is, how to deal with this hurt you've got, how to work it out in that sense?
This is now a gray area of philosophy, but a very, very relevant question in our life. Usually aparadha is, you know, when you want to hurt someone, that is an intentional activity. But when you want to lead off the steam, that's a human activity. But still, you must be careful in that. Have you ever noted when you speak, you know, you can express what hurt you at situation, but the moment it becomes malicious and your tongue gets that sharp steel, that biting criticism, then it becomes, you can see how the atmosphere goes down. I know what you speak about. When I was with Gaurahari, I would sometimes say, Gaurahari, can I just lament for 1 minute? And then I would just lament for 1 minute. I would really lament, you know. Stop. Then I stopped. Remember how bad everyone is and how foolish and the life is, and you know, I really needed to let steam off because I have no one else, and it's not fun to do it in the desert, you know. You feel you need a person to listen to you, you know. I mean, I think you know me by now. I'm just don't talk bad about people. It's not, I don't, it's from my mother's side. We just don't like to criticize. It's not in my characteristics. But sometimes, how unfair, how absolutely narrow-minded. Like this, I sometimes talk for 1 minute. And then I say, okay, good. Good, finish now. Because you immediately can see, just from a sensitive point of view, how the energy goes down. It's like air goes out of a tire. I don't think it's an offense. It's offense. It becomes when you really like this, and you start this, and your each time you say something, your tongue gets more of a knife. you know, then it's an aparad, and you can feel it. But when you just say, when he did this, I really thought, goodbye, Croatia. You know, if you say that. Or goodbye Germany. I don't, you know, have to be careful. I mean, just like this. Let's not forget to be human beings. Otherwise, we develop psychological disorders. But that's not offense. That's. But get out of this lamentation. You don't change anything by lamentation. It's just, as you say, some. By the way, when you feel like this, you can take a mountain bike and just drive. I think you are a mountain biker by nature. Or run, or, you know, kick against a house and break it. Hare Krishna. There are other ways to that. Lamentation just puts you on a very low energy level, but sometimes what to do? Mataji's like to lament. I know, because my door is open always. And then you just have to say, but see, there's also positive things, and you forgot this and that, and it doesn't help anyone to lament. Good. Anyone? Yeah, Chandrasekhar. I think we have a walking microphone. No, Kokolenda? Is it wireless? Or is it not working at the moment? In the process, good. Mm-hmm.
Maharaj, what is a disciple to do when he or she deeply loves his or her spiritual master and never wants to give up his shelter and is fully devoted, but in the course of the years or of evolving or may have some minor differences of opinion on certain application of the philosophy to different contexts of today's life. And so what is a devotee supposed to do in that situation?
Our tradition has knowledge of this and solutions, and usually it's like this, that we have one Diksha Guru who has given us the initiation into the Sampradayak teachings, and then we can also learn from various Shiksha Gurus. I think you know this answer, and it is a very practical answer, which I think is working. But I would like to give another perspective on this. This, I think, you are an older devotee. You have heard this many times. It is perfectly all right to go to Shiksha Gurus. It is something which in our society we have not so much practiced in the past, but I believe more and more this is understood, that you can take inspirations from other Shiksha Gurus and just keep a respectful relationship to your Diksha Guru who has given you that seed and which you cultivate. Now, I want to say something which has helped me very much to deal in my own relationship with Srila Prabhupada. We all, at one point or another, will clash with the opinions and the applications of our spiritual master because he is on a very different platform than us. Once Prabhupada went in the center park in the winter, it was something like this climate, and he was walking and with his cane, and he would go to the frozen puddles of water and take his cane and break the ice. A few times he did this, and devotees were wondering, this is unusual, you know, when a child does it, you know, they say, child, yes, let him play, but when a personality who is above 70 years old is doing this, you feel, yes, why? You feel like that. So devotees asked Prabhupada later why he broke the puddles of water, why he broke the ice, and he said, it is my duty. So then the devotees were even more bewildered. It is my duty. And then only he explained that we all have a natural state of love for Krishna in our heart, but it gets frozen over by the false ego, and the guru's business is to crush the false ego. And this happens when we meet a transcendental person. It happens always. It is, and so you need to decide, is this a major point or is it a minor point of details? If it's a minor point of details and application or cultural perspective, you know, then I would say it's not important, and we need to be a little tolerant, you know. But still, we have the opportunity to learn in these details where we feel it's difficult for us to see, to go to Shiksha Gurus. But the fact that we are disturbed sometimes by the Guru, that is normal. I mean, this is really to be expected. How often I was, you know, I had this problem. I came from the anti-authoritarian movement in Germany. We were on principle deadly against any authority, like teachers, for instance. We don't need no education. You know, we were... That came after my time. We were against politicians, parents, every authority. Then I came to Prabhupada. We are absolutely right. Everyone else is wrong. Boom! Prabhupada's statement about the other things as well. Did I hear this properly? It was difficult for me, but I can say now, after 40 years of blood, sweat, and tears in my relationship, I just love Prabhupada for giving the seed of bhakti. So uncompromising, so clearly, like you find never else. You know what he said that about Hitler, you know, where I might see it from historical perspective. Well, there are maybe also others, some considerations, you know. Who cares? It's not about this, you know, when he talks about political matters and so on. It's not about that. And if I now have said, because I would say yes, Prabhupada, it's, you are more exalted than me, much more exalted, and much. I'm very happy to follow your train of thought everywhere in all areas, and it's no longer a subject of even thinking about it, because it's not essential. This is not what Prabhupada has come to give, or what the spiritual teacher has come to give. We should measure him by the seed. That's the idea. And the minor details, we can manage around in our life. It's also not that he is particularly insistent on this point, let me say, as a representative of an ancient school, he cares about delivering the seed. That is what he is about. But still, that Shiksha Guru, or why always call it immediately a guru, that Shiksha option is always there. And I think you just have to avoid criticizing because of these details in your mind, because then it gets unpleasant in your mind. We all know the atmosphere gets not so pleasant when we... But then the Shiksha option is there. Also for all of my disciples, I want to say this more and more. You grow up more and more, and I'm very happy. Some disciples like to listen to lectures of Mahanidhi Maharaj and Radhanath Maharaj and so many Maharajas, and I'm always feel very happy about this. Very happy, because I know they want to go forward in their life, and that's not a reason to. It's natural, I think. No guru will think he owns the disciple, and therefore he cannot go. He will feel envious if he goes somewhere else. That's as long as it's the same teaching school, you know. Dobro. Thank you. Who else had a question? We had listed some devotees in an order. Ishvara Puri was you know there. I have not so good memory, but I'm taking Ayurvedic medicine against it. Soon I will not forget any longer.
Harima. Hare Krishna. My question is connected to this first one. And we know that sometimes disciples, through years, they get doubts in some activities of spiritual masters, or maybe not so minor. And they might go and ask even Shiksha and get some strength on their interpretation of Prabhupada's books, but that this is not good, what spiritual master does, and so on. And they lose the faith. So my question is, how should we deal with such devotees? Or how was Ishvara Puri dealing with Ramachandra Puris? How should Ishvara Puris deal with Ramachandra Puris?
Do I understand you? Was it justified doubts or unjustified doubts?
Unjustified doubts in his activities and what he is doing.
And one feels they are maybe offensive, like this, or
one can feel that activities of his spiritual masters are not correct, are not right. This what he is doing is not correct. And then he does not come to spiritual master to ask for explanation or something like this, but is with this opinion that what spiritual master is doing is not okay.
I think when this happens, that we doubt in our spiritual master, we need to clarify the doubt. And it is our right to do this. We can ask him personally. I think that is the best way to deal, first of all, to ask personally in a humble mood, because he's longer on the path than us. And then see if his answers can satisfy us. I think that is the best way to do. I feel when we deal with a devotee who is on a higher level than us by experience and by years we must be careful, but we can ask. It's a right. We have to suffer, and it's necessary. But we must be careful, because he might have total different reasons than we assume. I do remember that many of my God brothers could not agree with Srila Prabhupada. Many, many, you know, we are. And they saw something in Prabhupada which they saw from their perspective. But it needs to be clarified, but in a humble way. We were very young. We were, you know, Prabhupada was with us for 10 years. Most of you are much longer in Krishna consciousness. And we were sometimes not so careful. And then something happened. It's very difficult to understand what someone does who's on a higher level. It's very difficult. Most of the time we should at least theoretically understand he must have thought about it, and he must have a reason why he does this. And yes, but it needs to be clarified carefully. We're going on thin ice, but still we have to walk onwards. Yeah?
Yes, and thank you. And how, with such God brothers who might have such opinion, or who have such opinion, how should we deal with them?
I can only talk from my experience. When I have been with my God brothers who have voiced, you know, something like this, I have always tried to see, to explain my perspective, what I see, a perspective which gives me faith. You know, I have always dealt like this. After all, there's this general rule: if someone deals with his mind on negativity, it's not good for him. It's not good. And if the spiritual master should do things which we absolutely cannot digest, you know, then it is all right to take a distance, you know, and from the distance see if this old relationship can grow again. If not, then we can always have this option of Shiksha Guru. That is as best as I can deal with this difficult matters. Difficult matters. Step one, he must be he's on a different level than me. That is sure. By his experience, by what he has seen, by his sadhanas which he has done, he has different realizations than me. That's why he sees things differently and acts on a different platform. Step one. This is step one. He must have realizations why he does this. It must be for he must have thought about it. Usually he is a thoughtful person, you know. And then step number two is, okay, let me see if I can understand it like this, if I can understand it like this, like he sees it. If I can't, then I can make a respectful difference. Distance. This is how I deal when I come in this situation. See, we can't demand that. Generally, all people come on our level and see things the way we see. And we can't demand that spiritual people will. They sometimes have a total different perspective. Like when Prabhupada, you know, crashed the ice, you know. I can imagine some devotee thought whatever they thought. and then he explained what was in his mind. But of course there are more difficult situations. Good. Anyone else, please? Have I answered the question? And help the others to see like this. And good. Mm-hmm. Krishna Ragini has a question.
My question is about this: be careful not to make Vaishnava parada and don't talk about the mistakes of devotees. If we serve with some devotees in a project, and if the behavior of someone is lowering the consciousness of others, and I mean, how can we all improve in our services? And if we don't speak about those things, those mistakes or behavior, and at the same time to avoid the aparada.
Now this is the third question which has ignored the main gift. The lecture was on something else. Why is this so? Because we are so negatively programmed and our life is so much under the cloud of negativity. We must have a positive approach to Krishna consciousness. If we become so much disturbed about the minor or major mistakes of others, we should have something else in our mind. This is a social thing. When someone makes a mistake in the project, of course it has to be corrected. But we are now this you should have known since many years. Many lectures we hear are all on this subject matter. And I have also talked very often on this question. Yes, when someone makes a mistake, but this is not exalted spiritual subject. The answer and the solution will not inspire us. We have to learn to lift our consciousness to a level where divine energy can enlighten us. That's very important. Don't think now, oh my God, I asked the wrong question. Now I get the volcano. Why didn't Ishvara Puri get it? Or Chandra Shekhar get it? And so on. I want to talk about a general principle. We Hare Krishnas have become so negatively programmed because we just don't chant enough and experience the ecstasy of loving emotions and ecstatic Krishna consciousness. Bhakti is not about faults of others or my own faults. Bhakti is not about mistakes. Bhakti is about Krishna, his flute play, his smile, his mercy. his overlooking mistakes of conditions, so they will, if they stay in the process, Krishna Ragini, these devotees will be all right after one or two days or two lifetimes. Who cares? You know, it will. Krishna will take care of it. You know, we should think about spiritual things. It's a very important point here. I'm now getting in my subject. Don't worry, I'm getting now fire. This is good. There's many things to. Let me read to you a poem about Lord Nityananda. No, that comes a little later. What is important, Krishna Ragini? We live in Kali Yuga. It's a difficult and dangerous age. And there will be many things happening in our lives which don't go according to plan A, you know, when we joined. I thought I would become a pure devotee in 6 months or 1 year, you know. But then I thought because I'm very slow, it will take me 1 year, you know. And Krishna is grateful for every service which someone does. He gives his love even to the fallen and so on. And by this absorption in Krishna, everything becomes all right. What to do with these people? Tell them there is a Harinam program. Let's sing in ecstasy and dance. You don't dance enough. You know, and then the negativity will be shaken out of his mind, and so on. Hare Krishna. I hope you're not angry at me for telling these things. I met one devotee I don't give the place, otherwise you will know who it is. And the devotee said, I don't know. I like the devotees. They are my family, but they always talk about problems nowadays. Therefore, sometimes I go to these New Age people who say, love God, you know. Because I thought that our movement is about this. You know, I thought this is for developing love of Godhead. But it seems we have become the movement for watching the faults of others and the problems of our society and so on. It won't help you. You can analyze for the rest of your life about your own mistakes and other mistakes. You won't get free from them. You have to put a new energy into your mind, that is to think about Krishna, to talk about Krishna, to be grateful to Krishna, and to be kind to others and not judgmental when you don't understand a small detail and so on and so forth. Krishna Ragini, I see from your face you are utterly dissatisfied with my answer, so I will give you an answer on your level. Go to your temple president, talk about him, what the other person did wrong, and then it will be cured. How to bring? Yeah, bring him into the kirtan. Just take him. If it's a Mataji, you know, if it's a boy, you have to. When people lament, and I hear this a lot, I hear this so much that sometimes I get sick from all this hearing the problems. You get illness from this. When you hear this lamentation, that's why psychotherapeuts are the most crazy people. Always, have you noticed? That gets all into their head, you know. And have you noticed? When you come to the side, he looks like this, you know, his eyes. yes, Sigmund Freud says about your problem this. And you go like. No, when a person laments, you must tell him you have to lift yourself on another level. Krishna Ragini, please allow me my intellectual space. I have seen so much negativity, and I'm just see this as a message. I'm exploding now about this volcano of negativity. Like yesterday, when the people, there were so many people in the room which before they came must have lamented, oh, it's snowing, it's so cold, you know. And then they went into this kirtan evening and they became totally absorbed in the chanting, and they left with big smiles on their faces. Why can't we do this? And our people. Prabhupada used to say, instead of meetings, revolutions, and no solutions, this chanting should be practiced. Now, looking at the time, it's 8:30, and I still have to cover two things. It's 7:30. Oh, then we have time. Can we have an ecstatic question asked on a high level, or would we hear again what another person said about me? Or Govindanandan, yeah.
Now it seems that I am having wonderful questions.
I heard recently a sentence from the lecture of Bhaktivedanta Purnaswami that this devotee that respects other devotees the most, he is the most exalted devotee. And then I was thinking of the practical ways how to respect the devotees. And I, of course, I found some ways how to respect the devotees. But I would like to ask you this question in regards disciples to spiritual master. In which way would you be feel respected or appreciated if we do it from our side? What should we do from our side that you feel respected and appreciated from us? Or maybe what Guru Tattva would if it,
yeah. I you can't disguise your question. See, my dear devotees, I just want to serve you. I'm speaking now something very serious. I have adopted this service of being a spiritual guide because I really want to serve the devotees. I don't want respect, and I don't, yeah, I think I want some peace in life, but not more, you know. It's really, I become very uncomfortable when I'm respected or praised. You need to know something about my history. I came to Prabhupada when I was 16 years old, and this was his great, great mercy. My life before Krishna consciousness was very adventurous, but also very, I would say, I was not happy in this world. Although I like to say that, you know, and I was growing more impatient and therefore more adventurous, and tried things which for a young person, I mean, I was a little wild, to be honest with you. So, but I grew wilder because I couldn't find where to place my energy, where to place my faith. And I didn't see a future because I thought money and the other things which were on my road were not satisfying. And therefore I became a devotee and I served as a translator for many years of Srila Prabhupada's books. And therefore got a love for the philosophy, which I think was important. And then I somehow thought this philosophy or this knowledge is just so wonderful, I should preach. And I became, we called it that work, a network preacher. It was something like Bhakti Sangha. We built up Nam Hatha. We went to practically all big festivals and preached and did many things. Even now when I come in a German town, I know almost every road because I used to be there. And I noted it was a little bit difficult to always run after people and try to be a missionary man, because it took a lot of energy to make unwilling people willing to listen to Krishna consciousness. Every preacher knows this. And I began to feel increasing discomfort to always run after people. And then something happened. I remember a switch happened. People started to become interested in what I had to say. At that time, I was not yet a spiritual authority like now, but I guess I became a little bit more experienced and hopefully mature. So the result was people started to inquire from me, phone on their own initiative, invite for festivals, and I noticed it's easier to help people who want to be helped than run after people, you know, and try to be a mission. That I remember that was a switch. And then it came to the point Prabhupada had disappeared, and I don't know how many years after his disappearance I was asked to become a guru, because the guru in our zone felt overworked with so much caring for devotees, and it became and I was asked, and I had difficulties with saying yes. I remember my first Vyasa birthday celebration was celebrated in my absence. I had tried to hide from the devotees who wanted to become my disciples. Gadadhar was amongst these, because I was not sure if I could take this responsibility. And I want to tell you why I had difficulties to accept this. Prabhupada had personally told me I should become a guru. This happened very rarely, I think, because he didn't talk so much about this during his lifetime. He said general things like all my disciples should become gurus, but he had told me personally when I was in massaging him, and at that time I just I smiled and said, Prabhupada, you have such a high opinion of me, but I just didn't consider it. And I always thought Prabhupada would live eternally amongst us. So why could I not take to the role? And it's because I know from my... What do I know I'm not such a... How do you say this? You know, this... Everyone brings his personality with him. And I'm a moon child. I'm not so much from here as you all are. I think very different on different things. That you could see this Krishna Ragini as a typical ISKCON question, which is just totally normal, and everyone's yes, 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 and I just can't help myself and explode and not answer the question, because now this is not a good thing for a but what can I do? I am like this. Therefore, I'm always saying to those who want to be my disciple, please, first, look at everyone else. You know, they are maybe better for you, because I'm different. What can I do? I think different. If you look at the thing, I'm joined with 16, and I was only interested in mysticism before. If I would tell you, I would be forbidden. It is not forbidden, but it's so esoteric what I did before. Nothing bad. I didn't hurt other people, and I didn't do any damage to people, and so on. And therefore I can only implore those who listen to me, please see what I want to give to you. It's the holy name, it's talking about Krishna. That's the seed of bhakti which I have received, and the other things, I'm not so good in this, and I don't even think it is my role. There are others who talk about these other things better. So about your question, what to do to respect, I really don't want to be, I mean, some general respect that you know, it's normal, but not. Anyways, as our announcer said, I also like this birthday, you know. Don't worry, I will be called. There will be some respect will be given. It's also all right or nice for a day, you know. It's an exchange of love. Is that all right? I think it's good to talk honestly, no? That we hear, this is him, acha, good. Now we know. I want to tell you about Dandavat Parikrama, about Giriraj. Because there a theme of life happened. It was so challenging at times, both physically, because you always had to go down and come up and so on, and also mentally. I remember the biggest challenge for me was when I was paying my obeisances to Giriraj, and then one Indian threw chickpeas over me to feed the monkeys, and all the monkeys jumped on me, and it's not pleasant. I don't know if one monkey jumps on you, it's all right. But if a few, they smell so bad when they are close. They really smell very bad. Believe me, I've sometimes fallen asleep in Vrindavan under a tree, and then the monkeys were near, and oh, it smelled so bad. They don't use even toilet paper, what to speak of water. And so they were over me, and I just wanted to get up. I was anyways already fighting just to stay alive, and just tell the Indian, you know, you best of the sensitive Indians, you know. I wanted to say such a thing. But then I understood I should not act on false ego. I'm here to do obeisances to Krishna, which is a humble activity. I should understand this is a test for me. And let me now understand the test and deal with the test. Let me remain humble. And I remember when I went through this test, I felt almost like piercing out of the mundane reality and entering into a spiritual reality. I felt like piercing through the layer of false ego which is covering this universe. You know, they have this painting, you know, where the earth is a flat table and someone looks over the rim of the earth. Have you seen? So I felt like I was looking out of the atmosphere of the earth and looking into another dimension, the dimension of Giriraj, the dimension of Krishna's eternal playground, where somewhere he's herding the cows at this time of the day. I felt really that that reality is there. And I always, this is a repeating theme in my life, Govindanandan, that there is a certain, you could, in your language you would say, we live in a certain movie. Each one has this karmic movie. So we all perceive the world according to the way the three gunas give us informations. It's really like we sit in the cinema and see a false movie. And the great motto of a spiritual life is to come out of this guna-influenced life, out of this false display of reality, and enter the eternal reality, which is parallel there to our reality. And I feel that is what happens during kirtan. When we sing kirtan, the divine sound which comes from another, a higher dimension, comes and enters through our ears and then pierces through our closed spiritual ears. And the sound then opens our spiritual ears and brings the spiritual reality into our world. It takes some time before this point of breaking out of the egg or breaking out of the material perspective takes place. It takes time where we have to practice and stay with the practice. That is the reason why I go secret, why I go to Vrindavan and chant the whole day japa, because I know it takes time before you come to the point where you leave the illusory reality and enter into the spiritual reality. That is a motto of my whole life. When I was young, I heard one particular song, "Break On Through to the Other Side." Yeah. And I was, that was when I was 14 years old, and I was thinking, but how is it possible? It is not possible through what the young people were experimenting with, psychedelic drugs and so on. It is possible through a genuine spiritual process. But where is this process? And how will I be able to apply it? And as someone who teaches Krishna consciousness now, I'm really very much concerned of leading my audience out of this this narrow illusory reality into a genuine spiritual experience. And I think it's only possible through the holy name and genuine concentration on Krishna Katha. And therefore, my main interest in preaching to the devotees is to bring these two factors to them. Because I know then only the soul will be awakened. Then only the soul will dance. Then only the soul will feel the embrace of God again. When we are connected with the divine reality of Krishna's world through Shravanam and Kirtanam. I'm so dedicated about this that I must say something has happened to me. You don't have the same Sachinandan before you as you maybe think. I'm no longer here. I'm not interested in this reality. I have also given up the hope to find an ideal human society unless they dedicate themselves to chanting and hearing as the priority. I don't believe in material adjustments of psychology and yoga and New Age, although I have studied these processes very carefully. I've read many books, but I have seen it will not work. Only the holy name and Krishna Katha and the mercy of the Vaishnavas will work. And therefore, I'm so sorry, but I think we have a spiritual discussion, you know, and I think I should happily play this role to try to wake you up, even if you don't want to hear other answers from me, because I don't believe in the other answers any longer. I see they fail. The soul looks for Krishna. I'm not saying, this is very important, that therefore these other things should not be done. I'm totally convinced that we must develop the community care, the community of care, or the mentorship program, or whatever it's, there are different ways to express it. I'm very, very, very convinced that it must be there, because we must learn to live kindly with each other and caringly with each other. Otherwise, we don't encourage us. But all these community of care and other things are successful in as much as we are successful in inspiring each other to roll around in transcendental happiness, being totally intoxicated by the holy name. I say it now a little bit like this, or let me say it socially acceptable for most of you. These other things will only work if our hearts, if our souls become genuinely inspired by the spiritual energy. We are a transcendentalist movement. Is it all right, Nandarani? I thank you that I can speak what is dear to my heart. And to come to this transcendental platform, the path is not the same for everyone. We all have our individual journeys to make. There's a very interesting spiritual master who heard, it was on his Vyasa Puja, and there was a disciple praising him. Oh, you gave sambandha to the conditioned souls of the age of Kali. And he spoke like this. And then the spiritual master very gently interrupted him and said, now say it in your own words. We all need to find our own words, our own expression in our spiritual life, and it will be different. Of course, we should remain loyal to the school in which we live. This is too little to say. We all get the divine information from the parampara in which we have taken our initiation, and yes, this we need to take more and more in our life. But we have to digest it. The Vedas say the transcendental truth can be understood by hearing, by considering it, and by contemplating deeply about it. So that will all, the hearing is for everyone the same. But everyone will consider it in his own life and then deeply contemplate it in his or her own life. I'm sorry, I'm not really answering your questions. Were there other devotees who had questions? Maybe we went through all the questions. Or not? Yes, Leela, I remember you had one last question, Leela Purushottam. No, I won't. Whatever happens, I have found the brakes, yes. I will repeat your question because you didn't. The microphone would not go there. Leela Purushottam, Prabhu has seen that older disciples don't seem to have such an active relationship with me any longer. And I believe we have seen this in all over our movement. Well, I have thought about this very deeply, and I don't think it always is a problem or something which is not good. See, when a devotee first joins in Krishna consciousness, spiritual life is really all he or she carries about. One wants to learn everything. One wants to understand everything. Most of us have given up our careers and our material situations, sacrificing it willingly in order to go the spiritual path. But then, while we are on the spiritual path, we have to again deal with the reality of our lives. We have to see what ashram is most suitable for us. We have to think about a family life and earning a livelihood. These pressing subjects sometimes move into the foreground of our interest simply because they are so absolutely pressing and they need to be taken care of. So, therefore, a shift of emphasis, what's important and what is not important, is I think natural. And what I have seen with older devotees who are no longer so involved in the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness as I am, we look at each other and usually they say, oh, we are so happy that you are still spreading the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And they say, I'm now a yoga teacher. I just was with a wonderful older disciple who's a yoga teacher and trying to bring Krishna consciousness in his yoga instructions. I thought that was very nice and very... He tries to say it in his own words. He's a grihastha. He has a house, a child, and so on. And he now tries to... he's no longer traveling in a missionary sense, and so on. I think this is natural and has to do with our life, you know. We go to school for some time, and then we go out of school and we live the life. I think that's natural. What would be unnatural, or what I think where I always suffer, and which is not so good, is if they leave Krishna consciousness. But most older devotees don't do this. It's in the blood system. Let me say, well, that's a very idealistic say. Yes, some leave also Krishna consciousness. That's a fact. But I'm now thinking really of older disciples who are going through their life, and I think we need to understand them. And I find out when I don't expect of them to be any longer driving the Sharanagati car. My cars are always called Sharanagati because we have to do so much service when we preach. I think it is natural, and I'm personally happy that I'm sitting in the Sharanagati car. Good. Well, this was a special disciple meeting, no? It had some fire, no? You look at me and I look at you. But I think that is good. We said things in our own words. You asked your question in your own words, which are on your mind, and I gave the answers accordingly. Let me summarize what I wanted to say today to you. I was thinking of why it's necessary to accept spiritual guidance in our life, and gave a Bhagavatam shloka. A boat needs someone who can help us navigate the boat through the different difficult areas of our life. Then I wanted to ask how we relate to this captain and service which pleases. And pleasing service is when we take, so to say, the seed of bhakti, the instructions on Krishna and how to develop love of Krishna. Therefore, it is an open secret that I wish all my disciples to become lovers of the holy name and try again. It will work. You just need to pierce the material ear and open your spiritual ears, and regularly read the nectar of Krishna consciousness from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is my gift. That is not, I can't say it's my gift, which it was given to me by my exalted spiritual master. And I know you will become happy and ecstatic when you take this gift and come to the transcendental platform. That was a little bit what I wanted to say today. Tomorrow I want to deal with critical questions on to this process. When does it work? When does it not work? Today I spoke about Ninda, finding faults, as something which is not good on this path. Good. I wanted to tell you a success story of a devotee. There is a book out here. It's called In Memory of Our Dear Sadanandi Devi. It's by the Sharanagati Preaching Sharanagati Press, I see. It's very, very nicely written. We were in the Gaura Bhavan for a long time with Sadanandi. I think you all know that she was such an innocent and pure soul, that she was very, very dear to all, to many, many Vaishnavas. And we helped, we tried to be of assistance in her last days. These devotees were Gaurahari, Vanu Nandini, Ranga Devi, and devotees from the castle, like Ananda Vadan and Gadadha, and many devotees helped her very much to spend these last days with us. And Saranandi's departure was unexpected for her. She was thinking she could become healthy and do her service. Even when she was in the hospital, she was still typing, wanting to type emails and so on and so forth. So she was, it became unexpected for to her, and physically it was not easy. Sometimes Gaurahari would cry after or when he visited her. It was not easy for her. So because she was very, she was almost surprised by death, we all who were close to her had the feeling that she may still, you know, she may not have prepared herself and so on. There were some signs for us which we did not want to talk about to others, because it was just, Saranandi would not have wanted that we talk about this. And we were for some time quite, how do you say, there was something where we were not absolutely sure where she went. Certainly she went on. But then something wonderful happened. Something which is so good, please listen and become moved by Krishna's mercy to his dear devotees. One of Krishna's qualities is that he is grateful for any little service which has been rendered to him. He's grateful. He cannot forget this. And Saranandi did so much. So it was this Kartik where her ashes came to the Yamuna, and there was a nice little ceremony of bringing her ashes into the Yamuna, and afterwards we felt, oh, that's very auspicious. This is what Saranandi always wanted. She loved the Yamuna very, very much, and in Vrindavan. Then this Kartik, something happened which was totally Krishna's arrangement. We had done some ceremonies for Saranandi. This is called reading the Bhagavatam in honor of the departed Vaishnava, Vaishnavis. It's a ceremony which is done, Brahmanas do it, read the whole Bhagavatam. Then another good friend of Saranandi, a god sister of hers, arranged for another Bhagavatam Katha. And you should have heard what they did. How many days? 7 days they did. What? 7 hours each day they read the Bhagavatam. Afterwards they had kirtans and took the Bhagavatam through the villages. And then they fed thousands of Vaishnavas and so on. It was really a great, great thing. And my first feeling when I heard about it was, but we did already so many things. I felt almost a little, you know, can't we coordinate these, please, these things, please, you know. I felt a little like this. But then That was the first thought. The second thought was Krishna's arrangement. It must be Krishna's arrangement. And then, after this was done, my dear devotees, listen to this. Saranandi came, visited me one last time, and had her innocent childlike smile, like she always had, said, "Everything is all right now. Thank you very much. Now I can go back home, back to Godhead." It was so clear. She was so absolutely positive. So, you know, her sun-like smile. And it was just so touching. And also the Vaishnavas who did this, you know, they just did this so blissfully and so ecstatically served this nice Vaishnavi. And then in the end, the Vaishnava said, "Sorry, we did it. We have now... it was costing so much money, but we didn't worry. And now we are with they spent a lot of Lakshmi on this, because you have to cook so much and you have to so many arrangements and build things for which are done, and therefore I just want to say to all of you, there is now this book out in memory of our dear Saranandi. And please, if you can, give generously to this book so that we can give the devotees in Vrindavan who did this, who are very poor, but who just did it without asking. Wonderful, I hope no one ever asked... Again, I have this now, this confirmation. Loganath Swami writes, Radhanath Maharaj Swami writes about everything. Krishna Chaitanya, Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, Bhakti Vigyan Goswami, all write about our Saranandi. It's such a... She was a great Vaishnavi. You know how many non-devotees grieved after her? She had touched so many hearts, even media, press people, and people become devotees after. There's one person who met Saranandi and now became a devotee. This is such a powerful Vaishnavi who preaches even after departure. And I'm so proud of her, so proud. He is one successful disciple. I don't want to say it like, you know how, in what context I said this. She went back home, back to Godhead. We are still here in the world. She's much higher than me. She's a great advanced soul. Yeah. So that I wanted to share with you. Isn't that nice? Krishna took care of this. And it's simple. She served her spiritual master hand and foot, and then Krishna takes care. Even though I'm not very qualified, that's not the question. Krishna takes care of his devotees. Please purchase this book. Our Syam Nam, who was doing also, oh, I forgot Syam Nam, she did the service which no one of us could have done. She did the last service of dressing Saranandi, which we just, when I came in and saw Saranandi in her, she looked like an angel, but I had done everything in the universe to not cry, but I broke down, but it needed someone who may have not been in the Gaura Bhavan, so Syam Nam will distribute the books to you. She will have her Syam Nam table somewhere. Yeah. Last thing. Is a little poem. I hope you like it. And then we will sing one last kirtan. It's called The Mercy of Lord Nityananda. The definition of a saint is that he freely gives his mercy to everyone. Just like a sandalwood tree who spreads his scent all around. And the definition of a crooked person is that he always criticizes and attacks, just like an axe. Both of them never give up their natures. And even if the axe cuts the sandalwood tree, the tree still gives his fragrance to the axe. How merciful then is Lord Nityananda, who overlooks all our innumerable faults and blissfully turns the greatest sinners, the Jagais and Madais, into saintly devotees. Run to this Lord and take his blessings. Lord Nityananda ki jai. It will come out very soon. So let us sing. Jai Gopal, you're taking the madanga, or you do some rehearsal. Can Maravash play? Or there are other madangas. Good. Can maybe someone open the windows just for a little while, just get a good dose? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. I want to encourage you now to freely move with us into the kirtan. Please sit down. We will not be able to talk during this kirtan, but we can talk outside of the temple room if we wish. In kirtan, it is very important that we get away from the platform of the mind, because if we stay too much in our thoughts, we cling and hold to our thoughts. In kirtan, we want to purify the mind from material impression, that means material thoughts. So it is very important that in proper kirtan we make an effort to listen to the mantra and not listen to the mind. And only when we can bring ourselves to listen to the mantra, then the kirtan will work, or the mantra will work on us. Then further, we are informed that chanting is a prayerful activity. Srila Prabhupada had said that this is our only prayer. Please, Radha and Krishna, accept me, engage me in your service. It is very important that we chant kirtan in a good atmosphere, in an atmosphere of devotion, an inner atmosphere of devotion. Therefore, some devotees who chant kirtan move themselves in their mind away from the material atmosphere and into a spiritual atmosphere. For instance, this temple room, where we are all together who want to celebrate the coming 3 days. It's an assembly of very serious devotees who want to take their spiritual life serious so we can help each other. But we need to move out of the world of the mind and into the world of the mantra. And the mantra will help us to move if we just listen to it. So I want to chant with you a melody which Srila Prabhupada sang. Please just become peaceful. Please connect to the place where you are now. Think of the personalities who inspire you most. Maybe Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, maybe Srila Prabhupada. Bring some positive spiritual personality and energy into your mind. We are also personality oriented, so let us concentrate on divine personalities and then chant with some prayerful and grateful attitude. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Be merciful. When will my material desires flee far away from me? When will I wear the garments of a beggar? When will I live in Vrindavan? When will I see Shyamakund and Radhakund with my own eyes? When will I take shelter of Sri Rupa Manjari? When will I stand at her side? When will I fan the divine couple with a chamara whisk? When will I invite Radha and Krishna and give them a sitting place on a throne? When will I place a flower garland around their necks? When will I become fortunate? When will I call out Gauranga? When will I leave this body made of sins? Hurry, hurry. When will the Lord Nitai be merciful? When will my material desires flee far away from me?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.